Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Fucking us up.
What is going on, folks? Patriot Power Hour is live, and we are back in your life. Season 9 premiere, January 7th, 2020. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran here with my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, we got major breaking news right before this show. We have Iran striking American bases in Iraq. Retaliation for a Quds Force commander who was killed by U.S. drone strike in Baghdad airport while we were on break. We're in a shooting war this hour with Iran across the Persian Gulf and probably all around their borders.
Yep. Definitely didn't plan for this going live for our first show of 2020 on this Tuesday, January 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Just so happened that about 2.5 hours ago, 5:30 p.m., from what I've read, it's been officially confirmed that two separate bases have been hit with different barrage of short-range ballistic missiles is what they called them. Casualty numbers unknown. Of course, there's stuff on Twitter. Hard to tell what's real, what's not. But stuff is developing as we speak. I've also seen some reports come in that F-35s have been launched out of UAE and that Iranian fighter jets have also been launched. Of course, they would have no hope against the F-35, but that doesn't mean it's not serious development. So we will be following this as the show goes on. We had a lot of other topics lined up to talk about, but that was definitely the main event that we missed since we've been on.
I think it deserves just straight up coverage right now. We need to talk about it in the first segment of this episode. All right. Kicking off season 9, winter of 2020, we got a third military base being hit by Iranian missiles in Iraq, getting reports of a new wave of Iranian ballistic missile launches in Iran, targets unknown. 6 U.S. F-15 seen taken off from UAE. You mentioned that earlier, Ben. All right. This is all from a Twitter account. We're going to have a video. We're going to post this episode in, like we did last season, premiere up on YouTube for as long as that lasts. But great website, Defense, DEFCON Warning System. All right. And they're pretty much apolitical, but definitely pro-military. And they report this stuff as well as anybody in the world. Now, they're very selective on who they consider sources or not. But there's a lot of great Twitter accounts like this, and we monitor them at Future Danger. That's, you know, a good part of our news comes from sources like this. So hat tip to DEFCON Warning System. They got their own 5 graded scale, like Future Danger, but in a different perspective. It's all on a scale of how close are we are to nuclear war. And they have taken it above their lowest level. Watching this Twitter account tonight, wanting to see where they end up. You can also go to DEFCONWarningSystem.com. where they have original content and posts, but mostly they're posted on Twitter. And there you go.
Yep. Definitely interesting. So, you know, that's why we've been trying to source different places to go to that we can trust. That's why we've been talking about this for so long. You know, we're heading into season 9 right now. We've been on air more than 2 years. I've personally been on air more than 5 years. And we don't look forward to events like this. I won't lie, though. You kind of get a rush, like, oh, my God, this stuff's going on right when we're going on air. So covering it is exciting in that regard, but I'm certainly not a war hawk. Don't want things to escalate. But, hey, you know, there's a lot at play here, so much at play. And we've talked about this to some degree, just kind of in theory, but I want to turn it over to you. Just so everyone's on the same page, can you kind of review the chessboard, so to speak, with Iran? A little bit of the history. We don't, you know, we only got a few minutes here. But how did we get here? What occurred last week with that strike? You know, what do you, you know, see that as? You're the resident military expert, as I believe. And what, you know, what could be next? And what other, more importantly, in my opinion, what other parties are involved or messages could this be sent to?
Well, you just think of a map of the Middle East, all the parties involved, and you look at this problem between the United States and Iran vis-a-vis all those other relations. How do the Saudis look at it? How do the Israelis look at it? How do the Turks look at it? How do the Iraqi Shiites look at it? How do the Iraqi Sunnis look at it? We want the origin of this. It was called the Schism of Islam, and the Shiites and Sunnis have been at it ever since that happened. This is the Shiite superpower, and now we're whacking them pretty hard, and they're whacking back, and they have a lot of enemies in the Middle East, of course. Their coalition right now is pretty much lined up, you know, client state of Russia, weapons buyer of Russia, and watching what Russia strategically does tonight is also important. The Turks are their own independent nation around the border with Turkey, or with Iran, I should say. And, you know, they're very military active right now, too. Something to watch out for tonight is hell breaking loose, because the Turks are in Syria or Libya, you know, setting up their own bases, a NATO country, but doing it totally outside of NATO, as far as we can tell. All right. Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, that battlefield, all of that tonight. You know, the Iranian special forces influence has grown since the vacuum created when we basically invaded and annihilated the Sunni resistance.
So I'm pulling up a map of the Middle East right now. And
we got soldiers killed in Kenya this week.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it seems like this is a much more, well, this is obvious on its face, a much bigger strike and attack. So, but just quickly looking, we got Iran and Saudi Arabia facing off across from one another in the Persian Gulf, with Iraq right down the middle with Tigris and Euphrates. You know, Americans are always pretty bad at geography. We kind of know what the Middle East is, but go look at it and you'll really, truly see that Iran is the key piece between Russia, India, and China, and Middle East / Africa, Europe. I'm concerned that allies, whether I'm really more concerned of the quote unquote blue allies getting in on the fun, like Saudi Arabia taking a pot shot, or UAE being hit by Iran, as an example. Iran said if any fighters from the U.S. launch from UAE, territory, and then Iran will hit UAE.
Yeah.
That I'm more worried about kind of the neighborhood starting to riot in a fight, and we're stuck in the middle, is kind of my biggest concern right now.
Yeah. There's lots of bad news that could be happening, and it's not. So that's the good news tonight.
We got oil up 4% just in the last hour. Office.
Gold is soaring. It's 1605.
1605,
right now.
Absolutely in the red zone of
nearing its
all-time future
high.
Danger.
So within, probably now within 15% of all-time high tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's bullion, gold. But, you know, we're looking out for Israeli-Iranian war starting. And then what we have as an indicator, Sunni world war starting, and that would be pogroms across the world as different sides really bloodlet, yeah. Right? You know, all these countries around the world have Sunni and Shia mixes, and how volatile it could get, no one knows. But, you know, Iran has been posturing for this war, and you know, the oil money allowed them by the previous administration essentially ended up in, you know, arms markets where they can do this tonight, launch these 150 mile or kilometer range you know, intermediate range missiles and have effectiveness. So it's on. It's on tonight in the Middle East, and we are probably striking back or preparing for strike backs that of technologies we haven't seen before. They may get debuted.
Yeah, defense contractor. Even though I'd heard the stock futures are going down, defense contractors might be going up in the morning. Here's my question. Let's assume, as I've seen, three American bases have been hit. Let's assume total of 50 casualties. Let's just say that. Who knows how many? Hopefully not that many. Would the next step be equivalent of shock and awe that Iraq was? Or is there intermediary steps? What is the scale or order of operations, if that makes sense, in terms of how big? And we're dealing with Trump here, of course, but also just DOD doctrine.
Do you ever get a suit made?
What?
You ever get a suit made?
No.
You never had a nice suit?
I have my wedding and stuff, but not tailored. Not tailored, though. Yeah. Well, I never was measured to me. You're right. Okay, there you go. My wedding tux right there.
Well, not all responses are the same size and shape.
Okay.
And the planners, majors, lieutenant colonels, generals are looking at these plans constantly and making assessments on what's the proportionate, what's doable. So massive, denial of airspace, access to denial that the Iranians are going to attempt tonight, and we're going to try to penetrate it if we're striking now or later. So, they're going to be very agile in how they take down targets, but chances are our technology is going to be able to levy a blow that the Iranians really aren't going to be able to counter more than CNN news clips of rubble buildings and bodies.
Right. And I would almost expect that there, for every round of I don't think it was regular artillery. I think it was all only ballistic missiles from what I've seen, but smaller, short range. For everyone that hit, I bet several were shot down, intercepted, or otherwise disturbed. Electronic warfare.
Well, it's the Patriots are running and THAAD are running. Patriots are for the closer in, and we all know about those. We've seen them, seen the images of them. THAAD are the big ones. Those will go after the intermediate and above, ballistic lobbing missiles. And Iran has those. Tel Aviv could get hammered tonight if they really wanted to kick this off. And I said to you before the show, and I think it's possible, the boldness with which the president went after the third in command of Iranian government, essentially, the special forces commander in Baghdad, in without defenses, just showed up and they did that to him. Could also lead to a strike, and Trump has said it's 52 are targeted right now, but could lead to a strike that involves hitting mountain bunkers with penetrators that are nuclear tipped to just end nuclear program in its tracks. The idea might be tried, and if they succeed, nuclear weapons just don't materialize in thin air. You do have to have places to make them.
Right. And that you can't really hide those very well.
That might be on the menu, and they may not wait to escalate. They may just say, now's the chance to do it. We have casualties in Iraq.
Right. Exactly. No.
Let me tell you this, though.
Go ahead.
Carrying this right now on futuredanger.com, I don't have an indicator for war with Iran. It's not particularly dangerous to the United States because we are going to lay waste at the beginning of this unless they get allies from third superpowers. Then it probably stops. In the meantime, it's not essentially dangerous to where we sit here in the United States, but it is unconstitutional war. Congress did not authorize this. There is no declaration, authorization, resolution. There's nothing.
Okay.
If, this is my personal opinion, that were to pass tonight, I'm all for kicking Iran's ass in this war. They deserve it for what they've done in the Middle East, 100%. Patriot of my nation saying we should be doing it. But until that Congress votes, it's not happening the right way. And the standard being set tonight with this sort of thing is going to come back to haunt this republic in future administrations if we don't stop it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Slippery slope. We've already gone further down the slope in the past. Doesn't mean we've got to repeat the mistakes or go even worse. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Do stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. We'll be right back.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
I expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
We are back. Future Danger setting ourselves up for a blitzkrieg on this season 9 winter 2020 premiere episode. We're back after the holidays, and boy, we're back on we didn't plan this. This wasn't meant to be our first show, but it's happening tonight. We got war unconstitutionally waged. Just a recap, Iranian Quds Force commander killed by U.S. drone strike at Baghdad airport a few days ago. We have 60,000 American troops in the CENTCON theater of operations. Airborne Brigade and several dozen SOF deploy to Middle East as Pentagon prepares for Soleimani strike fallout. Round 2, we didn't stop there. U.S. drone strikes kill 6 pro-Iran militia commanders, so they went right after the leadership that had killed an American contractor a week and a half ago. Now, Green Zone in Iraq getting missile struck again. Speaker of the House said in the last 24 hours that she intended to bring a vote on a resolution limiting war with Iran. Air Force is positioning B-52s at Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean, and they're not hiding it. That was earlier today. Along with that, Airborne Brigade is sailing the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit aboard the USS Patan. They were supposed to train in Morocco, now they're going right in. And tonight, Iran launches dozen plus missiles into Iraqi air bases housing American forces. Across the news, we have in the background Mr. Cochran lurking, all kinds of crazy stories. Maxwell scoffing at law thanks to serious dirt on powerful people. That's the Jeffrey Epstein accused madam procured young women for him to do what he did. Got a New York school official arrested for arranging sex with underage boys. 60 Minutes is now investigating the Epstein death. Got comedians in Hollywood making fun of it openly. It's breaking out. It's breaking out. A little bit of news out in Missouri. Missouri police warrantlessly taking apart cars, interrogating occupants, and forcing the surrender of ownership. That's because they exactly know who has the drugs, and they don't feel any reason to follow any warrants. They're just doing it. Intel Committee IG is suspected to have lied to Congress. In the background, simmering that FBI corruption scandal. Over in Korea, the dictator has announced North Korea ending nuke test moratoriums. In my opinion, that's directly linked to what we're seeing in the Middle East. An example has been set with Soleimani. Kim is silent as of tonight, but did say before all this started that he was about to unveil a new strategic weapon. The Western Pacific's on hair edge, as well as the Middle East, in certain respects. In the homeland, Department of Homeland Security is issuing terrorism alerts. There'll probably be more updates tonight for sure. In Virginia, the governor has proposed legislation funding an 18 state police member gun confiscation squad ahead of what are deemed to be new draconian laws in the all-Democrat-controlled legislature in Virginia coming up. Israel on alert for Iranian reprisal. Watch for Israel to be active tonight as well. This is a powder keg. Hong Kong simmering, 400 arrested, more violence. Doesn't seem to spread across the Chinese mainland, however. Got floods. We got animal holocaust with wildfires in Australia. We got flu season starting up in the United States. Of course, you got the occasional mystery pneumonia infecting dozens in the most populous city in central China. All of it lingering in the background. Then we bring it full circle to column three, the economy. All right, we got risky banking recognized. The same bond rating agencies are basically selling ratings to the, you know, to the pressures of the marketplace from the lenders themselves. Happened in 2007. It's in the movie The Big Short. Very poignant scene. Got the lady that acted in the scene as the representative of the bond ratings agency, and she happened to be blind in the movie, ironically. Yeah, that's what's happening. The Fed is pouring money. It don't call it quantitative easing, but we're getting quantitative easing for 57 billion to markets, followed by even more today. We switch these perhaps not consistently in future danger, because in the aggregate, it's the indicator debt massively monetized. But on a daily basis, it's the extreme after action repos. So 77 billion followed by 99 billion. I guess that's in the last 2 days. I could be wrong on that. And like we said earlier, gold near 7-month high. That headline admittedly is out of date. It has to be higher in 7 years because we've just peaked past 1600. All right. Oil prices up 4%, but we'll see where that actually puts us. The NYMEX West Texas Intermediate is still, you know, halfway on its way to all-time high. So the oil shock isn't really there. It sounds good as a headline on Drudge, but it's not actually close to its danger zone. You can see that more in column three of Future Danger, where we have live economic gauges updated at the frequency level the sources allow, some weekly, some daily, some hourly, some monthly. What make you of our situation this January 7th, 2020 eve, Mr. Cocker?
Yeah, so the Iranian situation has obviously taken up a lot of time in the news cycle, which it should. And obviously, it seems to be escalating. But a lot of important stuff here. As always, I focus on the economics. We've been seeing those numbers. See, it's even confusing to me who follows this daily, has a master's in finance from Big Ten University, Purdue. We're doing really bad at basketball this year, but that's okay. even I get slightly confused on why is there $77 billion in repo? Why is it then say $99 billion? Then why does it say $57 billion? There's different types of repos. They change it overnight.
Different terms. They're using new terms, though, like 53 or 49. They've never done any of those before.
Exactly. And I didn't plot this all on a spreadsheet, but in my opinion, just put my finger, you know, the old test which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
These numbers are increasing. It used to be, you know, 20, 30 billion, maybe 30 or 40 billion in repo activity. Now it's almost always above 50. And I've seen lots of 70, and even now we're seeing 90 plus billion overnight. That's a heck of a lot of money. So some nights are bigger than others. Some terms are more important than others. It is complex. It is kind of weird, not intuitive. But this is massive intervention. Like you said, it is quantitative easing four. We've seen all-time high stock market prices. Perhaps in the last day or two will be the all-time high if things turn really south in Iran. They already say futures are down a couple percent for the stock market opening tomorrow, and gold up a couple percent, oil up 4%. Regardless, it's been tracking almost perfectly since September, when the repo markets went sideways and the Fed started interjecting and, or just as importantly, adding to its balance sheet once again. Since then, the stock market has been on a crazy run. NASDAQ up approximately 40% last year. Guess what? I will fight the Fed. I think they can still keep pushing past this, unless it really is World War III, which I don't think it is. We'll see. But that's huge, especially going into election season. Is Trump going to be able to bank on those stock market things? But on the flip side, hey, the Fed is worse than it's ever been. And I've been calling it out for quite some time. So go listen to the archives if you want to hear more about that. But that's, you know, something that has not gone away at all. It's only gotten worse every month, every week. More and more intervention on that end. That's what I've been focusing on. But we got a lot of other stuff. It's hard not to be looking for Iran updates, though. Iranian, you know, about the whole situation. Because it really is very possible there's, pretty much activity. Not just activity, but we're shooting down planes. They're hitting us. We're hitting them back as we speak. And it'll come out in the next few hours. Have you found anything? I know you've been looking into it.
Yeah, I haven't, but it's just a matter of time for the Pentagon has a statement. And when they do, if they come down and say there's casualties, you know the strikes are coming. Trump is not going to back down from, laying the 52 supposed targets to waste. And some of those were threatened to be cultural sites. A statement he made, which is, slightly bizarre to me. He is a businessman, and he's been off base in the past about some of these fundamental things. But as you know, I'm a guy that was studied international relations. I read the history of a lot of this, especially the law of land warfare, which our entire armed forces, from basic training to officer basic courses, ROTC to the military academies, every single level that brings commanders into the military and soldiers into the military, Marines, airmen, sailors, they know that you can't hit, ancient ruins or other culturally sensitive sites. But we had the president, the businessman from New York, he said it last week, which is somewhat inflammatory. And I don't understand sometimes how he isn't counseled about these things, or he has been, and he just says it. And if he's doing that sort of thing, he's kind of goading his enemies in a way, political, domestic enemies in a way. He's under impeachment, kind of. Is it impeachment? Have the articles been transferred and therefore it never happened because they've never been – if the Senate never considers them, is it impeachment? So here's where we're facing today. It's a chaotic mess in D.C. Tonight it's a chaotic mess in the Middle East.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, coming up here on break, do want to give a quick shout out. This is episode 78. To check out our archives, or if you miss a live show, go to blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Of course, follow us on social media at FeatureDanger6 on Twitter, at BanksterBreaker on Twitter, or just go to FutureDanger.com. Bookmark that site. You'll be able to follow all of our archives and social media. That's really the best place for everyone to go. Go to FutureDanger.com. We have our podcast and everything else archived there, so we get shut down by Facebook or YouTube. It won't matter.
Even Blog Talk.
Exactly. Even if Blog Talk, we leave that for whatever reason. So do check us out. Follow us. Support us.
We're permanently on the web.
Oh, yeah. We got lots of archives, too. Don't worry. All right, folks. We will be right back. Just stick with us. Patriot Power Hour.
Intend to ship out the entire French population of the United States? Along with any other luckless soul who happens to voice a contrary opinion?
Well, if that contrary opinion threatens to divide the nation at a time when we must stand united, then yes, I will do just that. I'm entrusted with the nation's safety, Thomas. So these war measures will protect us from insurrection and subversion.
There is no war.
And that is the principle behind these measures, the prevention of war.
Cannot protect the nation
by attacking the right of every man to speak freely without fear. You're trampling on the Constitution.
You are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour. We're live.
We're in need of a producer.
We're in need of a producer.
If you ever want to join the show to produce this,
I just need to keep all full control.
Let you host it too a little bit.
A little fun. Plus, we've been off a couple weeks, so get rusty, but right back in the swing of things. We don't have time to be rusty, apparently, in 2020. First show, we're halfway through episode 78. Still getting updates on the Iranian situation. I haven't seen any major new news insofar as, you know, we hit Tehran or, you know, they launched another 5,000, you know, missiles at us or something. But we'll keep scouring that. Got a lot of other topics to talk about. But I do, before we go on to any other topics, it just feels to me that my, not so awake friends are falling, and that's why I brought up CNN.com, because I wanted to kind of go into this type of propaganda or just overall thought. I've had several of them that I haven't heard for a while from hit me up, like, is it World War III? It's like the meme coming through is World War III. Had one actually text me during the first half of the show, just WW3. He's kind of messing around, but not. I feel as if that narrative really caught fire. Pun intended, I guess. What, you know, anything CNN does makes me very suspicious. So what are they up to right now? And are they pushing for more attacks? I mean, what do you see from kind of that mainstream media point of view?
Well, this is going to resemble some of the missile exchanges that the Israelis have been part of coming from Hezbollah of Iran and, you know, I don't think Syria ever hosted sites of – they may have, because the Iranians have done this with other shorter-range missile systems, rocketed here and there, seeing what they can do. And, of course, Israel in the southwest and Gaza has, you know, had that filled with missile firing, and they've leveled it several times, right? So that little missile war, you know, goes back to Saddam Hussein had the Scud missiles, right?
Right.
So we had to shoot them down. They fired them at Israel that time. So that – you know, but if Israel lays – a you know, any kind of ordinance into Iran or Iran attempts the same to Israel, that war starts off. Now, this isn't all happening just like out of the blue. Earlier this year, the Iranians are widely said and suspected, it's commonly accepted that the Iranians struck major Saudi oil facilities with cruise missiles and there was casualties that time.
Yeah, that kind of got – definitely went out of the news cycle. I haven't thought of that for quite some time. That definitely occurred, though.
Well, there's, you know, American casualties, of course, are always a second order of magnitude. And if that happened tonight, and I'm not seeing it yet, I'm not seeing any reports at 8:34 p.m. that American troops have been hit and killed. We got the Pentagon confirming two Iraqi bases hosted U.S. military out of three that were struck. But, we're just keeping an eye on this, and I could anticipate several reactions. You could ask me about several courses where this could come out, but right now we're in a hot shooting war, apparently, with the Iranians in Iraqi airspace.
Yep. So we'll see if this escalates. We'll keep looking, of course, for now and the end of the show. If things really do hit the fan, don't be surprised if we have an impromptu 30, 40-minute show, not on our regular Tuesdays. We have the ability to go live 24/7, 365, as long as we have an internet connection. And two of us are able to at least get to a telephone. So if stuff really does get a little crazy, we may be doing that. Otherwise, you know, hopefully we don't have to talk too much more about it tonight. We'll, like I said, keep scouring. Got a lot of other topics. Let's go back to the heat map, if you would, sir. Gold hitting above 1,600, that is definitely breaking through to a new plateau. Not necessarily a plateau, I guess more of like a level. Just breaking above 1,500 was pretty, was a pretty big event that occurred a month or two ago, and it kept getting knocked back down below 1,500 for a while, but it skyrocketed above 1,600 since last week when Soleimani was hit, and up a couple percent just today. So definitely in the red zone per the future danger indicator that you put together. But I think something important, and you already mentioned this, oil, even though it is up and that's they focus on that, still $64, quite low. A lot of that from domestic production here in America.
It's coming down right now.
Well, that's the very short term, and only up 3.4% is nothing, relatively. So, you know, is what it is.
Spiked over the 5-day, that's for sure.
But gold's a whole different level insofar as it's already nearing its all-time high. So any spikes really will cause a lot of turmoil. We're also seeing Bitcoin getting some big action today, and really since Soleimani as well. If you're watching on YouTube, let me show you on the chart real quick.
How you making some money tonight?
Yeah, not that much. Don't worry. What you're seeing here, and I'll definitely describe it since like 95% of our folks are radio listeners. Going back to this time last year, Bitcoin was about, 3,600. It didn't move very much going all the way from January, February, March, April. But then it started to spike up a little bit, up to $5,000. And then it really caught fire up to about where it is now, 8,500. In July, August, huge spike up to 13,000 and beyond. So we're talking going from 3,600 to 13,000 in 6 months. Most of that action in just a couple months. Of course, it had a tough time since then, totally retracing from 13,000 down to the low of about 6,000, 6,500. Couple months ago, but guess what? Just in the last week or so, gone from 6,500 to 8,400 exactly is the ticker mark exactly as we see right now. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, zoom that in.
If you're looking at the chart, that's a pretty, you know, parabolic green upwards movement. Is that going to remain? Is it not? I personally think tentacle analysis is overrated, but you can see that acceleration over the last few days. Is Bitcoin, are people heading to that because of this tension in the Middle East, or is it just a rebound? A lot of other stuff going on in the financial markets beyond Iran. You know, that's why we're talking about all these different topics. It's not just one thing going on, right?
Yeah. I would like to ask you what you think. What do you make of the phenomenon I see where every other commodity, every other industry, every other thing in the mainstream financial world always is associated with these narrative tellers? It's what Bloomberg, CNBC, and any, you know, all the newspapers going way back. There's always been a storyline of why things are going in certain directions, right? We all grew up watching the nightly news where, you know, every night they still do it on the evening news, cover the stock market and say something about why it did what it did for the day. Try to associate. I never see an association with what Bitcoin's doing to anything. I can't.
Yep.
And let me ask you this. Is that because it's actually the most legitimate market freely trading right now?
I would say it's more that it's a very small and immature market with a lot of whales. Of course, the higher the price, the bigger it is. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. The market cap increases if the price goes up. But what I mean is it's harder to move a $1 trillion market compared to a $100 billion market. So as it increases in value, it will become more, in my opinion, you could try to tie narratives to it more. But
they just don't bother right
almost,
now?
Well, there's just so many other factors that could just totally overpower that. And so far as a whale, by a whale, it means someone who owns hundreds, if not thousands, if not literally hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin worth hundreds of millions of dollars. all dumps at the same time or all buys at the same time. They can manipulate the market much more. Whereas the oil market, let's take the oil or gold market, on the other hand, are, you know, orders of magnitude larger than Bitcoin market currently at 8,500. If it was 85,000 Bitcoin, then it would be talking about kind of a bigger, more mature, much more liquidity, et cetera. So, but I personally think narrative, it's so unscientific to try to put these narratives to why price movement goes on. That's, if there's one thing I learned in my master's courses, is that you really cannot tease out much more than a slight correlation when it comes to narratives.
Gotcha.
But whether it's sell before May, just go away, or there's different strategies that people say, you know, buy in the beginning of the month, sell at the end, or beginning of the year at the end. None of that has any true correlation. So, you know, in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is, yes, Bitcoin is freely traded, but that doesn't mean that we can determine why something has occurred in this market. So trade at your own risk.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, like I was saying earlier, the Israelis and Hezbollah have traded missiles, Iron Dome, gone into these little missile war operations. And it's always a matter of how far before there's enough casualties that both sides kind of decide, can we go to that next level of escalation? And like I said earlier, there's, you know, if you ever had a suit made for you, that's what's happening at the Pentagon tonight. They're making packages, responses. And it's on several fronts: the cyber, the space, the the information operations, the dissidents in Iran, and how they could be turned on or used in certain respects, and then all the other nation states in the Middle East being angled towards an effect. You know,
it's not like they have a plan for this, what you're saying. It's not like they have a plan for this for 30, 40 years.
No, you're up against, you're up against an active planning, thinking, rational opponent. And while you're doing that, because it's armed services against armed services, intelligence services against intelligence services tonight, while they're doing that, you know, what kind of outcomes could be made? You might see the ability to, you know, zero out any kind of action out of Iran, and we don't even understand why. Because techniques and methods are being used to do it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's something I always try to keep in mind. Hey, we don't know what's really going on out there. Like you said, Iran may have tried to launch all of its missiles and we totally just neutered them.
There might be a space weapon that just popped.
Absolutely.
2,000 of them.
And this stuff may not come out for 20, 30 years.
Orbit to ground attack systems.
Oh, I know we got those for sure.
They might be in effect right now.
Yep. So
just speculate.
So, yes, a lot of it is speculation. We try to kind of walk that fine line of speculation and analysis with the facts. So keep listening to us. Join us on this journey. The final segment of the 78th episode of Patriot Power Hour is coming right up. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Should victory fall to Britain, as it most surely must, then the Bourbons are likely to regain the throne of France.
Any dealings with the current illegitimate government there could well redound to our detriment.
Leading us back into a war with Britain we can ill afford to wage.
What if the French, not the British, emerge victorious, Mr. Hamilton? The pretender Bonaparte is within a hair's breadth of victory over most of Europe.
In that regrettable instance, we must be prepared to take possession of valuable strategic territory before France can lay her hands on it. All the territory this side of the Mississippi must be ours.
You would seize Spanish Florida and Louisiana.
And not only those, sir. If universal empire is to be the pursuit of France, what contented defeat their purpose better than to detach South America from Spain? It is the only channel through which the riches of Mexico and Peru convey to France.
Let us not forget there are those in our own country, sir, who would prefer secession to our continued union. If they should be so bold as to act on their threats,
In the event, say, of a French victory, we must be prepared to bring the renegades back into the fold by force if necessary.
Never in my life have I heard a man speak more like a fool.
Sir?
Your actions, Mr. Hamilton, would precipitate the very thing that you pretend to protect against. The dissolution of this nation. May I inform you as well, sir, that I am in possession of intelligence which confirms that we are as likely to find a French army on these shores as we are on the moon. You dream of empire, Mr. Hamilton.
You question my loyalty, sir.
Oh, no, Mr. Hamilton, I question your sanity. Now, either you are stark raving mad, or I am. Good day, sir.
Last segment here on this live episode. This is Ben Breaker of Banksters, and my co-host, Future Dan, right now is looking up several accounts on Twitter to get the latest on the Iranian situation. Right now, you got Department of Defense up, the official account of the U.S. Department of Defense. What are they saying?
Yeah, they have a tweet an hour ago that says nothing. Says, due to the dynamic nature of the situation, we will continue to provide updates as they become available. So definitely not nothing more than, you know, wait and see.
Yep, hurry up and wait. We do have multiple reports showing that now three bases have been hit. Unknown what type of casualties. I heard something that there was U.S. casualties, but that looked like it was only one or two sources, nothing to confirm. Maybe just Iraqi casualties, like rather than U.S. troops, unknown. But nothing else come through in the last 30 minutes is probably a good thing. I was concerned things might be hitting the fan while we were on air. Maybe they're hitting now. We just don't really know. Come through later.
They would try to suppress the news and control it.
Exactly.
Right as it happened. After the strikes went in, you wait and see how you did and what the results were before you, you know, claim any responsibility.
Right.
That sort of thing happened.
If there was a shock and awe going on somewhere, we would have found, you know, there'd be leaks, in my opinion. But apparently it would not happen yet, knock on wood. Anyway.
So Alyssa Farah is the Pentagon press secretary, all right, and she is saying an hour ago at approximately 17:30 Eastern Standard Time, today, January 7th, 2020, Iran launched at least a dozen ballistic missiles against U.S. military and coalition forces in Iraq. It was clear that they were launched from Iran, and that's been emphasized on several news reports. No doubt about it, came from territory in Iran, so that's predicating the fact that when strikes hit Iran next, that is because it's coming from there. Target at least two Iraqi bases. It's now been reported by CNN3, Al-Assad and Erbil. So this could take a while. And, you know, the White House is obviously in crisis mode right now. And who knows? Maybe the president is going to bring a request for a declaration of war to a House of Representatives that just impeached him. So how does that work? Probably not. Probably can't even work. Kind of frozen up here.
Yeah. So very interesting. We haven't even brought in the whole Trump aspect of this, and not to mention impeachment and stalled out.
The election pressures of 2020. He could just introduce it. Mitch McConnell could just do it right now and pass it tonight and hand it to the House. But they're not. They're all comfortable right now, just kind of having these kind of strikes. And this long, tenuous string, war powers. How long can the president just whack people in plot? You know, ostensibly it was self-defense, right? Hitting Soleimani because a U.S. contractor got killed by militia that he helped
organize. Yeah, the embassy was being essentially taken out by proxies.
They didn't just grease Soleimani. They greased the number two in Hezbollah, who was visiting the country, and the number one Iraqi Shiite leader, right? So, and then later six more Iraqi Shiite leaders.
Right outside the airport, by the way. That's what the number one, that was pretty genius of a strike just on its face. Like, you hit them right there, they're just showing they're not safe anywhere. On the flip side, that just shows that Soleimani and these other guys were super comfortable, thought they could keep getting away with this, maybe thought Trump wouldn't dare do such a thing, is kind of my read. This is essentially like hitting them in the cell phone parking lot, right? The cell phone waiting parking lot of Dulles Airport or like JFK. These guys were just kind of, it was at midnight or essentially late at night, middle of the evening, and it just got totally smashed by a drone.
By something.
Yeah, who knows what it was. That's a good point. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the fact that they just, first off, they fly a coach. I mean, how do they go through Baghdad International, first off? Second, the fact that they were just hanging out there, and then they just got blasted right there. That's
Soleimani
kind of crazy.
Is known to have, like, flown and been in negotiations in Turkey. What part of the same Turkish military airfield right next to a commanding general of, you know, CENTCOM, who would arrive later to also have talks. So, I mean, he was flying about and not disguising his movements. He was operating like a CENTCOM commander would fly around and, you know, be visiting allies.
Okay.
So he showed up in Iraq and they just absolutely whacked him with little to no idea that no one thought.
It definitely mafioso, kind of how I noticed. It was like a total whack job. Just like, no, just out of nowhere.
Yes. It was a spike like Bitcoin, gold, and oil. It was
St. Valentine's Day massacre.
This kind of shape of intensity of pow, just out of nowhere. Choosh, we just crushed the intensity scale. No, you know what? Hitting Soleimani, the number three in Iran, that guy is like, you know, one of the major spikes in tension among the countries in the region. Is it doing the same spike to Russia and us versus Russia strategically tonight? Doesn't seem like it. I mean, we got to when the Soviets downed the U.S. airliner over Russian airspace headed into Korea under Reagan. I mean, that is where the entire world was also, you know, on alert for nuclear war. It was several of those moments in the Cold War. You know, that's not happening tonight that we can see.
That we can see, obviously. But hope not. I hope everyone realizes that's a bad idea.
But that stuff was hard to hide back then when it actually happened, like hundreds of people dying in airliners getting shot down by Soviets. So watch for that. If the Iranians do, it all comes down to how much bloodletting they're willing to do. If it starts getting bloody, the reactions are going to be severe and swift around the world.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it'll be able to be hidden at all or very long. Like, they will try to suppress or delay reports of whatever's going on, but the internet, unless it's a total shut down to the internet, which maybe Iran can do, but I don't think we can do at the U.S. or it'd be way big. You know, that would be a bigger problem in of itself. But
I can tell you that
stuff will come out
during the build up to the Iranian nuclear capability that ostensibly the Obama administration put a halt to with the agreement with Iran, which is kaput, it's gone, doesn't exist at all in any sense tonight. During that run up, Israel made it known, you know, obviously, and not so obviously, and obviously at times, that, you know, how they would go about striking all of Iran sites to take away the nuclear capability, they've been known to do it. They did it to Saddam Hussein. They took out his reactor long before Saddam invaded Kuwait in 1990. They did it ostensibly to Syria as well, when any kind of nuclear or you know, any kind of weapon mass destruction facility is thought of to be having stood up. Iran was the first country that could do it with airspace and territory that Iran hadn't or Israel hadn't chosen to reach. Israel just acting on their own would resemble, you know, for example, You know, some of the early Israeli wars where, you know, France and Britain jumped to Sinai to seize it back from Egypt while Eisenhower was not even briefed, right? That happened. So Middle Eastern wars, allies and forces, they may just take actions that are extraordinary. And don't count out the Russians from being part of that.
And that's why I'm worried of another neighbor in that region, even just taking a cheap shot at someone else. Maybe not even like against Iran or vice Iran against them. Maybe it just sees as an opportunity to, you know, attack, get some revenge, poke their enemy in the eye.
Here are other borders we're watching, right? Yemen, Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Ukraine and Russia, or Nova Russia, right? India, Pakistan, North Korea, South Korea, Taiwan, and the mainland China. All the flashpoints that could provoke a world war have to be watched tonight, right? And we're not seeing news in any of those. We're not trying to claim that there's, you know, this is not about panicking people. This is about soberly looking at what's going on. But projecting forward, if two or more of those regions start seeing military incidences, naval clashes, airspace violations, intercepts, things could be heating up in a way that no one person on this planet can control themselves.
Yep, yep, yep. So coming up on the end of the show, pretty crazy show. Like I said, I wanted to get into a lot of these other articles we got on FutureDanger.com. Don't really have time to get into right now, but really the Australian fires. One topic I really wanted to get into was the Australian fires and how they're pushing that it's climate change, et cetera, et cetera. We do have one on Future Danger, but we only got like a minute or two left. Nearly 500 million animals killed in Australia's wildfires. Similar to California, a lot of this area was put off limits for fire management, back burns and maintenance, whatever, to try to save the environment. They don't interfere, and that just builds up massive amounts of this waste. So guess what happens? These fires. We got to pay Al Gore carbon taxes? I'm not so sure.
Well, we're witnessing one of these like local extinction events, but this has been known to happen in nature forever, since there's been a planet.
Yeah, I'm sure in a couple of years this is going to grow back and be absolutely fertile land and whatnot.
There may be species gone forever.
Yeah, well.
They probably weren't very large. They were a very vulnerable location.
No, exactly.
And I'm not sure how mankind changed that one bit.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is, did mankind change it, first off? If so, can we realistically change it?
Why were those 10,000 years ago, 20,000
years ago? Can we improve this?
100,000 years ago.
Listen, this is the crux of the situation. Do we trust the United Nations and associated
it's not a question.
Endeavor? You know, do we trust them? Do we trust them and all their associations and the foundations in D.C. and in London and Paris to fix the situation?
We're shooting at Iran.
Hell no.
And no one's even called us UN Security Council meeting. That thing's done.
Well, you know, we'll see how it keeps going. You know, we will be back next week. A lot of ways this goes. We'll find out.
We'll be back sooner than that if this gets worse.
Exactly. And next week, Tuesday, January 14th, 8 p.m. Eastern, Patriot Power Hour, episode 79. But as you noted, we'll be back more quickly if anything hits the fan. But of course, if you want to listen to us in between shows, be sure to check out our archive. Not only do we have old episodes, we have some evergreen content as well. We'll continue adding that in 2020. Future Dan, I'll catch you next week, and I'll let you know if we need to get on air in any emergency situation. All right, buddy?
Yeah, we'll be on for sure. It was a great show. Looking forward to winter 2020, getting some good news coverage on Patriot Power Hour.
All right, folks. We'll be back next week. Catch you later.
are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Mark, hey.
It's a bloodbath up here. Morgan's stock has lost half its value. It's down to 2310. It's in a free fall. Clients wanted to talk to you about pulling their money. I mean, it's now or never, Mark. We gotta sell. Mark. Mark, you hear me?
Mark, you there?
Mark.
Also, Bernanke just left the White House. There's going to be a bailout.
Well, they had to. Right? The paper markets were
collapsed. They knew.
Cash would stop coming out of ATMs. They had to backstop this.
They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care.
Yeah, because they're fucking crooks. But
at least we're going to see some of them go to jail. Right? I mean, they're going to have to break up the banks.
I mean, the party's over.
I don't know.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ReadyMade Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. ReadyMade Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run ReadyMade Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. ReadyMade Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call ReadyMade Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at ReadyMadeResources.com.